You're about to listen to the first episode of The Tide. This is a storytelling show, but it's also a role-playing game. That means the show is mostly improvised, and occasionally we roll dice to add even more uncertainty to the story. You're going to hear us referring to rules, terms, types of dice, and so on, but that stuff doesn't really matter. You don't need to know any of it to enjoy the story. What matters are the successes and failures, the highs and lows of our character's journey, and trust me, you'll know when one of those happens. So, without further ado, enjoy the show.
The Tide.
Russell.
Hello.
You're in your car on a sunny August afternoon, window rolled down to feel the breeze. It is a perfect day to visit the seaside, but the roads on the way to your destination are pretty much clear. The map in the passenger seat took you off the motorway about 10 minutes back, and you should be approaching your destination pretty soon. Your new car, specifically brought for this trip, has a CD player in it. What's playing right now?
Let's Dance by David Bowie.
Excellent choice. Is that Russell's vibe?
I wouldn't say it's descriptive, but it's a really good album.
It's a really good album. And is Russell the kind of person to sing along? Does he know all the words?
Sure.
He's the only one in the car.
Yeah.
Is he just belting out as he goes?
He's putting on his red shoes and dancing the blues.
Excellent. So as you're doing that, you pass a road sign welcoming you to Kingstide. You already know that it's a tiny coastal town, the kind that would have been overwhelmingly popular 20 years ago or so, but is now on something of a steady decline. Also on a steady decline is you. You are trailing down a steep switchback road on the side of a slope, sort of heading down towards the sea, which you can now see over this kind of slope, this cliff, with the town kind of sprawled out before you there.
I'd have expected more traffic in the summer holidays.
Definitely. Dead end of August, you would really think it would be completely packed. And it's not deserted. There are people around and there are cars kind of zipping back and forth within Kingstide, but it seems to be a pretty slow day. Now, you've never been here before, you've never driven down this particular sort of complicated path, and in fact, you've only had this car for, a couple of days? Probably?
Yeah.
Not very long at all.
Still getting used to the clutch.
So I'm going to ask you for our first roll.
Okay.
To drive down and get yourself safely down this slope, all right? So I'm going to set the difficulty, it's not going to be too hard, I'm going to do 2d6. Ooh, I got a 10 on 2d6.
Oh,
that's pretty rough. So this could be a little tricky, but why don't you try and beat that?
Okay. So I'm going to have my a d8 for being a perfect stranger to this place.
Yes.
I think this is probably focus, which is a d8.
Yep.
Then an attribute, grace.
I think so. Yeah, a little bit of finesse needed here. A little bit of...
That's also a D8.
Gentleness. Okay, that's pretty doable.
And then I've got my trusty car, Keris.
Of course.
Who is my Peugeot 206.
Excellent. That's another D6 for you.
Another D6. I don't think any of my specialties are going to work here.
No.
So I think I shall roll there.
Great. 4 dice. Let's see what you get. You're trying to beat a 10.
Trying to beat 10. I've got 2 5s.
Ooh, 10 on the dot.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't beat it, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a shame.
So, yeah, you're driving down these sort of not very well maintained, fairly rocky roads with no, barriers, just open to the air on either side.
Yeah.
Pretty rough. If you've ever driven through the Peak District,
mm-hmm.
It's fairly similar. But you're just sloping downward. You can see your destination.
Yeah.
And you're just having to, crawl back and forth. you're on maybe your fourth repetition of this, a little over halfway down, when you hear a clunk from within your car. Something not good has just clunked. Now, I don't think you know a lot about cars.
Not loads. Not loads. That's why I bought a new one.
Yeah.
So that nothing would go wrong.
But if someone's clunking, that's not good. Nonetheless, the car still seems to be running. You think maybe just under the sound of the motor, you can detect maybe a very faint kind of clicking sound, something in there under the hood. You're not quite sure, but this seems to have done a little bit of a number on you.
Well, as long as it's still going.
You're still going.
I'm sure I can pull over at a garage somewhere when I get there.
Absolutely. So with that in mind, sort of a little bit nervy as you head down into town proper. You can see Kingstide laid out before you. It's a pretty small town, but it has a few sort of immediately notable features as you come in. Of course, there's the beach, although that's on the other side of where you're coming in. That's you know, we're on the east coast of England here, so you're sort of headed east, like towards the heart of town, and then beyond that to the beach. But the beach is sort of flanked by these two quite tall cliffs. That sort of mark the ends of this like mini bay that Kingstide kind of finds itself in, and that combined with the slope gives the whole thing a little bit of a bowl shape.
Yeah,
kind of coming in. On each of those cliffs, you can see a set of buildings. On one, there is this very large lighthouse, a very grand-looking lighthouse building.
Which side?
That's on the south, so it's on the right-hand side as you're coming in. And then on the left, there's a slightly more nondescript building. There's like a squat white building with some antennas coming off of it. But the lighthouse is sort of very impressive looking. One of the few things in town that doesn't look quite shabby and quite run down.
Mm.
As you actually get onto sort of flat ground again, mercifully, you're first greeted with a kind of fairly crappy looking industrial estate on your left-hand side. Faint sort of smells of maybe petrol or something coming out of there. And then you slowly trail your way through suburbs and a kind of residential area, all of which looks fairly grey, fairly sort of unruly. And then you can see sort of further up ahead, there is what passes for kind of a commercial district. There are betting shops and cafes and other things that are sort of a little closer to the beachfront, where presumably tourists would have gone at some point.
Mm-hmm. And they're not doing now.
Not as far as you can see, although you're not actually all the way over there yet, so you can't be sure. Maybe they all got here early. Maybe it is about 5 o'clock. Maybe 4:30 or so. On Keris's blinking dashboard there.
I can just see the colours of the arcade and the big plastic 1999 Mr. Whippy.
Yeah. Where are you headed?
I'm trying to figure out if I should get this car seen to before I head over to Ian's.
Nothing is actively smoking.
Well then, it's probably straight to Ian's. If I can pull over, take a look at the A to Z.
Sure.
And remind myself of exactly which... Try and find the main road, you know. Figure out how many turns I need to take off the main road. I did go on MapQuest.
You downloaded the instructions.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And printed them off. But I don't know. I don't trust them necessarily. Like they've led me wrong a couple too many times.
I think we'll call for another roll here to see if you can navigate your way to Ian's apparent address. Difficulty. I mean, with the instructions from MapQuest, I think it's just going to be another 2d6. Not too bad.
You said that last time.
I did say that last time. This time I've rolled really badly, though. I've rolled a 1, which I can't use, and a 2. So my total is just 2.
Good luck. That's going to be hard. Hard for me to do worse than. I hate an unanswered question. That's a d8. My wits is a d10. Pretty smart cookie. Mm. And I think it'll be... probably knowledge or focus here. Or notice, actually, probably, a d6.
Yeah, looking in the nooks and crannies of that map.
But because I am aware of the mechanics of this game, I'm going to hinder my hated and answered question.
This is a great time to do it, yeah. Turn that D8 into a D4.
And
oh, let me give you a plot point for that. There you are.
Thank you. I've got a 6 and a D10 effect die.
Very nice. Yeah, so you succeed pretty well, and it doesn't take you very long at all. You sort of, before you even realise you're doing it, you have a pen out and you're like annotating the MapQuest directions with what they are supposed to say. Mm-hmm. So for now, you are heading down Bryant Drive. That is the name of the street that marks your destination. That is what it says on the postcard that you were shown by your friend. The only bit of communication that anyone's had from Ian in the last year or so. Really not very much at all, at least as far as you're aware. Mm-hmm. The house that you're headed towards is a very modest-looking terraced house with a tangled patch of weeds instead of a garden. The front door is painted red. It's number 17. The curtains are closed on the front window, it looks like. There's sort of a fairly sort of thin-looking white curtain. It's not lace, but it looks almost lacy. And the curtains are closed on that front window. There are windows up above to the second floor, which are not curtained, but there are no lights on, as far as you can see.
You said this is a terraced house?
Yeah.
I'll take a deep breath. This is what I do. I'll head in through the garden, up to the door. Doorbell?
No doorbell.
Knocker?
No knocker.
All right. Knuckles it is.
You wait. And there's no sound of anything from inside. Nobody comes to the door. No immediate reaction that you can hear.
Looking around the garden. We never had a garden, so never really experienced houseplants. They were mine.
You never really experienced what Ian was like as a gardener?
No.
Apparently not much of one, if this is any anything to go by. That said, judging from this postcard that your friend got, he's probably only been here maybe 5 or 6 months.
All right. There's still time to turn it around.
But there doesn't seem to be any answer from inside. Nobody's home.
Can't go around back, because there's no way around, apart from the gardens.
You want to try and find a back way around?
Well, what's behind this road? More houses? Are they backed onto each other?
They are. There are sort of houses, as you say, backed onto each other with their gardens sort of sloping down. Their back gardens sort of sloping down to meet each other. But between them, there is a very narrow path. It is sort of cracked stone, very uneven, not very well tended to at all, kind of hidden away back here. But it appears to have back, you know, doors in the sort of wooden fences of each of the houses on the back of Bryant Drive.
Yeah, we'll try and squeeze through.
Okay. Leaving Karis out front, you wander around the back and head through this back passage. There are no numbers on these doors, so you're having to sort of mentally count down Bryant Drive to kind of remind yourself which one is Ian's, especially from the back. They all look pretty much the same, but you're pretty sure you get the right one. The wooden door is closed, but there is a metal handle on it, you know, one of those metal latches. It seems like it would lift easily if you did want to go in.
Into the house?
Into the garden.
Into the garden. Can I peer over?
It's a little bit tall for that. You could try and jump if you wanted.
No, I'm happy to lift the latch. It's just that, like, each step here transgresses slightly more. Like, I really know I shouldn't have come back here, but, you know. Go on then, let's open it up.
All right. Heading up, the back garden, pretty similar state to the front garden. Maybe not as wild, not as tangled, but that's only because most of it is grass. And the grass is overlong and poorly tended to. There are a couple of things in the garden that you wouldn't necessarily expect to find. There is like a dinner plate, like a ceramic plate just lying there in the grass. And then there is also, just outside the back door, which is sort of one of those white kind of plasticky back doors, a few cans of beer, empty beer cans. The back door is closed. There is a small window here that kind of looks into the house. This one is not curtained, but looking inside, you don't see any signs of movement.
Peering in through the window, what's the state of the place?
Looking inside, you can see through the darkness that this is a pretty kind of lived-in space. Every surface has something on it.
Mm.
But many of them, to your not immediate comprehension, are covered in fabric. And I don't mean like curtains and things. I mean, or even like tablecloths. I mean that there are like different strips of fabric laid out on the kitchen counter, in amongst the tea bags and biscuit tins. There are a large set of scissors on one side, and then hanging up sort of in a kind of dividing line between the kitchen and some kind of living room area on the other side. Hanging up there, you can see a few sort of almost like disassembled pieces of clothing, like garments, that have been kind of torn apart, maybe.
Like someone's been home tailoring.
Maybe, yeah. It's then that you see a shadow move against the far window, the one that was initially curtained. And it's only then that you realise that far window that was curtained, the curtains have been opened.
Mm.
And a figure just moves between them inside the house.
I'm going to quickly try and shimmy my way back out, close the gate.
Oh, well, hold on. I'm going to need a check here, I think. You're running up against 3d6 difficulty here.
There's no way I'm getting caught.
You might. That is an 11.
Let's put something together. My stealth isn't great. It's 6.
6 isn't bad.
It's not too bad. I get a d8 for being a perfect stranger. My grace is a d8 as well.
I think this is grace, yeah.
But I don't think anything else is going to help me here.
If you want to, you could spend a plot point to take add a fourth dice, like a second trait from a pool. You could maybe add wits here as your sort of secondary attribute.
Yeah, let's do that. This is a big enough deal. Here goes. Oh, that's absolutely abhorrent.
Oh, no.
I've got 2 hitches there.
You do.
And I only got an 8.
Ouch. Well, you can have that plot point right back again. And because you got 2 hitches, I only have to pay you 1, but I'm going to give you a D8 complication.
Oh.
Well, look, you fail, right?
Yeah.
You fail pretty badly. Nobody comes out of the house to, like, stop you, but you definitely see the figure stalk closer to the back window. As you're, like, making your escape, you are not subtle about it. And when you get to the wooden fence door, you dare to look back. And though you can't really make out too much of the figure shaded there against the window, you can see 2 things. First, it is not Ian. Clearly, you're not sure who it is, but it's not Ian. And second, they are looking right at you. Maybe I'll just give you spotted D8.
Okay.
So you make your escape, bolting back down, catching a glimpse of this non-Ian figure, who has no doubt definitely spotted you, and you don't hesitate. You just put the door back on the latch, head back down the very narrow path, squeezing between the 2 wooden fences that make up its walls, letting yourself back out, and you are on the street in Kingside. You can go back around the front where Keris is.
Yeah, that's where I want to be, somewhere safe, or where I'm allowed to be. I think I'm going to make a thing of it. Pop out my little clicky pen, take a scrap from the MapQuest sheet, and write down, "Hi. Sorry if I got you at a bad time. I'm looking for my friend Ian. I'll be in town for a few days. I better find a place to stay, hadn't I?"
You better had.
All right, I'll come back and deliver this.
Okay, you leave the note sort of half-finished.
Half-finished and chuck it in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
Along with the pen. And a quick look back at the front of the house.
Curtains are open now, as you saw. All the lights are off. But you think you detect a faint movement just between that little passageway where I said the half-finished clothes were hanging. One of them is swaying.
Get over yourself, Russell. I step back out of the car.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go knock on the door again.
Okay. Initially, It seems like there's not going to be a response. But then at the very edge of your hearing, you do sort of detect a faint rustling from within that turns into a somebody identifiably kind of stomping down the stairs, and eventually muffled through the wood that separates you, a voice, a little bit gruff, kind of a little rough sounding, says,
"Go away."
Hello. I'm just looking
go
for.
Go away.
I'm just looking for my friend. I'm sorry if I startled you. Listen, I'll come back another time.
There's no other response, but the figure doesn't move. It's clearly not Ian's voice, as you might have guessed, but you don't hear the figure move away. Do you move away?
Yeah, this is bad, confrontational, easier just to write a little note and try another way.
All right. So you get back into Kerris, close the door, and look over at the note and the A to Z and the MapQuest directions all sort of piled on the passenger seat. So you were talking about finding somewhere to stay?
Yeah, I'll make my way into town and see if there's bound to be a bed and breakfast or something.
As you're trundling along in Kerris, Kerris is the car, we should say.
My Peugeot 206.
Yeah.
Brand new. With a little tiny little scuff.
Well,
just tiny,
this is the thing.
Tiny thing.
The car halves in value the second you drive it
off the lot.
Off a cliff.
Halves a car.
Heading into town, you can see clouds have begun to form overhead. The sunny day sort of turning slightly, but they're not dark clouds. It doesn't look like it's going to rain. Just slightly overcast now. And you drive past a bunch of the kind of buildings that you would expect to see in a little town like this. There's a pub, there's a couple of pubs, there's an antique shop, a post office. You pass by some kind of cathedral, where you pass into a little car park that's almost on the beachfront there. And you can see a few buildings sort of arrayed out in front of you here, all facing the sea. The first one that catches your eye, there is a bed and breakfast. There are no big hotels as far as you've been able to spot, but there is a little B&B here. It's called the Cranford B&B. And then a little ways down the road from that, actually slightly separated, there is a cafe. It's not a very tall building, but it's quite wide, and it has these large plate glass windows that let you sort of see inside. And then this big sort of reddy brown kind of awning over the top that reads The Point Cafe.
Okay.
And then lastly, just on the corner of two roads, sort of jutting out ever so slightly, is a fairly unassuming looking building, which you can see inside of the familiar orange glow of heat lamps, where fish seems to be gently baking under the light.
Mm.
And the sign, which indeed has a little picture of a fish, a sort of old-fashioned sketch, and the quite charming little name of the Fish and Chippy.
The Fish and Chippy.
Spelled with I-E at the end.
Well, I'm not leaving until I've had some of that.
Is that your first port of call?
No. I don't want to fall asleep before I get to a bed and breakfast.
For sure.
So I'll head my way inside park up.
Yeah.
In the little car park. Walk through toward the waterfront.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to sort of cross the road to get to any of these buildings. It's not very busy, but it's like a long straight road that follows along the beach, and so cars kind of are zipping by fairly infrequently, but they are here. And you can see figures sort of drinking tea inside the cafe. There's a young man behind the counter. It's reasonably nice inside, but not fancy, certainly. I should say, on the beachfront itself, there are a few sort of small attractions, but they look mostly closed. Further, this will be south, sort of the way you're looking, it'll be left. You can see a pier, which has nobody on it, and it looks like it might be disused, like it might be in a state of disrepair.
I'll step inside the B&B.
Inside, a little bell tinkles overhead, and you can see, just ahead of you, there is this very small lobby. And there is a woman behind the desk of the lobby reading a newspaper. And she looks to be about 70. She's getting up there. Her hair is completely white, and her face is very gaunt in the way that older people's faces can sometimes be. But her eyes are clearly very alive, and she's sort of darting around the newspaper as though it's the most interesting thing in the world. Until she catches sight of you, and then her eyes sort of lock onto you instead. She says, good afternoon, dearie.
Hello, I was just, I'm stopping by in town for, hoping for a few days, maybe a couple of days. I wondered if you've got any space.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We have space, no problem at all. Can I take your name?
Russell Cauldron.
Cauldron,
C-A-U-C-O-L-D-R-O-N.
Ah, thanks. Right, and how long did you say you wanted? A couple of days.
A couple of days, I think.
Two nights, and will you want breakfast?
Yes, please.
Tremendous. Wake up call?
No, I should be okay.
Oh, okay, absolutely, no problem. Well, fantastic. And she sorts out the details. You pay for the room for two nights, and she says, if you want it longer, just let me know. It should be fine. I think we're probably heading into the quiet period a little bit early this year, so there should be plenty of space.
Is this different to most summers then?
Well, not like it was when I was a kid. Definitely, we've had our glory days.
Well, it's a little bit of a relief, to be honest. I'm a teacher. We leave the kids at work, and kind of a little bit nice to be. I was half expecting to bump into half the parents when I came out here.
Oh, you teach here in Kingstide?
No. It's short enough shot from Stockport that. I might have seen some holidaying families.
As you're talking, she has this slightly disconcerting habit of, like, moving her lips while she's listening to you.
Okay.
That's just... It causes you to just trail off a little bit as she sort of... She is listening, but that laser focus is combined with the fact that she sort of... It's almost like she's talking under her breath, but she's not making any sound or anything.
There's something else going on there.
It's kind of odd. Could you make a notice roll of some sort for
me? I'd love to.
Well, I'll pull up Grace's character sheet. This is Grace, by the way. She will introduce herself if she hasn't already. Just 3d6 again. That's going to be an 8. And actually, I have an opportunity there. I've rolled a 1. So my hitches are called opportunities. Mm-hmm. And if you want to, you can spend a plot point to step down a complication that you've got. So you could alleviate the worst of that spotted D8 that you're sitting on.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that because Russell's not feeling great about having the first interaction he has in this place being a transgression.
Yes, I think that's fair.
This seems like a place where they're small enough that he could cause himself problems.
Yeah. I'll turn that into a 6 for you. And you want to construct a pool to try and beat my 8.
Sure. Hate's an unanswered question. That's a D8. Probably looking at wits here, D10. This is probably... You said it was a notice roll.
Yes, I think so. So I won't usually prescribe what skills you're supposed to use, but this is a roll where I want you to notice something. You're sort of looking for clues kind of thing.
And that's about that, I think. Ooh, okay. Well, I've beaten it on one dice, but you said it was an 8?
Yes.
I'll use my D6 and my D10 to go for 15.
15, holy moly. So that is a heroic success, which means
a D8 effect.
Yeah, comes up to a D8. It's a D8 at the moment.
Yeah.
So because you got a heroic success, that steps up to a D10
talent
die, which is fantastic. And you get a hero die. You get a hero die D6 if you want to add that into your
D6. Okay, there we go. Pop that in there.
Very nice. So you notice everything.
I'm an extreme noticer.
Oh, yeah.
It's been said of me.
The thing in particular that you managed to notice here startles you a little bit and unsettles you ever so slightly as Grace finishes up with the transaction. She says, have a seat. I'll just go and get your room ready for you. It won't be a couple minutes. And she sort of totters up the stairs. She goes past a sort of white painted door that seems to lead down into a basement. And that's closed at the moment on a latch. And she heads up the stairs slowly, and you get the sense it's going to be more than a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really feel like sitting down. You've been in the car for so long, you know, you're stretching your legs. You lean against the counter and you look over at the newspaper that Grace is reading. And
what paper is it?
It's the King's Tide Mirror for December 1st, 1941. Thank you for listening. For more information, visit tide.show.